Everybody, good morning. Good morning. Good to see you. Good to see you. I love the cheers. I like energy in the place. I want to ask this. I want to make sure you never cheer for me, okay? Let's give God some praise this morning. Let's give it all up to Him. So good. That's so good. It's been such a great day so far. Really been exciting. I actually just left a party. I don't know if you know that or not, but I just left a party like moments ago. And the reason that I left the party was because of this rock, or this is why I got to go to the party. It's because of this rock right here, everybody. And it might not be this particular rock, but it's a rock just like this one. And some of you guys are like, I don't even understand what is taking place right now. But right next door in a room that we call Camp Rock Kids, okay, this is where all of your children are. Your kids are having a party today, and listen, I'm going to ask for your forgiveness right away because they're going to have ice cream, and we're going to send them home to you very sugared up. So forgive us. Yes, it's 9:30 in the morning, and we are going to give them ice cream, but here's why. Every single week, your children, the amazing kids and students of our church, have the opportunity to earn a rock just like this one. It's really powerful, and so they earn this rock one of three ways. They either can bring a friend, and they will get a rock. They can bring a Bible, and they will get a rock, or they can know their remember verse. And if they have those things, they get a rock, and these rocks go into a rock chamber. And when that rock chamber is full, we give them sugar, all right? We celebrate. And so I want to brag on your kids because they've been so faithful to do the things that contribute rocks to the rock chamber. And so what today is for them is just a day of fun and life. I was over there for some of the games. I was throwing darts with them and high-fiving and fist-bumping. And then I opened them up in prayer right before they started to eat the ice cream. But they said, hey, this is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And so I just want to thank you for allowing us to be a part of the lives of your family. Really, it's awesome and important to us. And so I just want you to kind of know what's going on with your kids, man. We just believe that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, and we try to do things that make them feel alive, and we actually want them to be super excited to come to church. So, yeah, and so that's part of the idea. And then we also want to teach them the value of God's word and the value of relationships and the value of planting the seed of God's word deep within our hearts. And so this is our little way of doing it. It's a good day for kids today. In our 11 a.m., we're also good. Yeah, you can give it up for your kids. Yeah, go ahead. They're awesome. In our 11 a.m. service today, we're going to have a bunch of little small babies and cute little ones up on the platform. We'll be doing some baby dedications today, so you're welcome to stick around and be a part of that if you want to. But we just, listen, we love the next generation, right? Because everybody that's in that building is the future of the church. And if we don't invest well, then we will really, really rob ourselves of what God is trying to do in our future. Amen, everybody? Amen, amen. So thanks for being a part of it. I do want to welcome all of you that are online, that are staying connected to us digitally, whether you're traveling or you're just not comfortable being back in the room. Just want to say hello and welcome to you. Also want to say this to you. We've been in our 9:30, we've been seeing some pretty heavy attendance. We've actually been in overflow for a couple of weeks running. And so if you don't have children and you're like, hey, it's a little crowded for me, our 11 a.m. has been a little lighter attended. And so I just want to make you aware of that. So if this is kind of your normal and you're like, hey, I'd rather have a little more room, the 11 a.m. has a little bit more space. If that fits your schedule, it's an option for you. And then again, if you have children and you're like, look, you know, I come to the 9:30 because my kids go to church at the same time, we totally understand that. We're going to do our best to serve you well. Amen, everybody. And let me make one real quick plug, and then I will get into today's message, okay? And here's my quick plug, and that is this, that if you love kids and you want to serve kids, then All Access is your next step, okay? And listen, a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Derek was preaching, I intentionally went and served in the kids' room. I was like, just put me on the team. I just want to help out and serve. And I'm just going to tell you something. All right, kids is not my gift. You are. And so just not my thing. It was amazingly simple to do. The leadership over there is so stellar that I just knew exactly what to do. It was easy for me to do. I got to just engage and interact with the children. So if you're like, look, I would love to be involved, I just don't know what to be expected or whatever, let me just say it like this. It's easy and fun. It really, really is. So if you're interested in serving with our kids, All Access, all right, that would be your next step. All right. You guys ready to start today? Yeah, all right. Are you really ready? You awake yet? We have coffee here. You can bring it in, I promise. You can just sip on it. It's okay. If you spill it, we'll just clean it, okay? I'm ready to get into today's message. Today's going to be a little bit more practical. I talked about that last week if you were with us. We've been in a series that we've been calling the rest of your life. And we've been focusing on resting because the world is always pushing this fast pace, hurry up, do it quick, high expectation, never slow down sort of culture on us. And so we've been talking about resting a little bit and what the Bible says about that and how to actually do that in a healthy way. So last week I said, well, I'm going to talk about resting, and I'm going to do it in the most practical way I can. And that's where we're going to start. But let's just review. If you've been a part of the series, you've seen this verse every single week. This is where we've been starting. The Bible says this, that this is what the Lord says. Stop right where you are. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path. And that's where you find rest for your souls. When we do things God's way, when we walk in the way that God has designed for us, it's restful. It is the thing that actually puts us in a place of replenishment and refreshment. And like we can actually seize the day and take it. You know what I'm saying? Because if we'll just do it God's way, the problem is that culture drives us into the opposite direction of God's way. Like, hurry up, do more. And I've talked about this every single week. And so the language there's a lot of verbs like stop, like skirt, time out. Like, look for God's way. And then walk in its path, like travel that trail, and that's where you find rest for your soul. So we've been digging into the Bible. What does the Bible say about resting? We've been talking about that. And so today, I want to talk to you about a subject that I was really shocked at how volatile a topic this was. I'm going to talk to you today about Sabbath. Sabbath. The Bible talks about Sabbath. Sabbath is a day that God called holy. It's a day of rest. And I was just thinking to myself, like, as I was preparing this series, like, all right, I'm just going to open the Bible. I'm going to find out what the Bible says about Sabbath, and I'm going to teach it to my church, man. That's what I'm going to do. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how quickly you could fight about rest. I watched tutorials, YouTube videos. I watched messages. I've listened to podcasts. I have searched the scripture for myself, and I was amazed, quite frankly, at the way that people have these polarizing different opinions about rest and what it should be and what it shouldn't be and what's okay and what isn't okay. It was like Democrat and Republican type of tension. That's what I'm talking about. It was crazy. And I just thought to myself, man, I thought it would be a lot more simple than this. And so the title of my message today is this: 24 hours a day. One day, 24 hours, all right? We're going to talk about that. So here's what I want to get into. A day of rest. The Bible does, in fact, have a lot to say about it. But I'm going to take you on my little journey and what I was, like, seeing, and then even my own confusion. Like, how do I teach this to the church? And then I'm going to take you where I've landed in a very practical way of how you can actually have a day of rest. Are you ready? Say ready. All right, if you're online, type ready. Here we go. Let's just take you through some scripture. This comes from the Holy Bible. Here we go. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10. This is the voice of the Lord giving commandments to his people. And he says this: remember to observe the Sabbath day. And then he says, keep it holy. And we've talked about that throughout the series. Holy simply means set apart, different. So it's a day that is not like the other days, all right? Keep it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath, a rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Now, if you ask me, it's very clear. Right there it is. It's the scripture. Amen, everybody? It's in the Bible. The Bible says, you remember the Sabbath day, you keep it holy, 6 days of work, one day of rest, cut and dry, black and white, go. But follow me. All right, let's go to Isaiah 58. The Bible says, keep the Sabbath day holy. All right, so we're hearing the same message. Don't pursue your own interest on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath day. Hey, wait, like, don't pursue your own interest on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath day. And speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Lord with everything you do, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. So am I supposed to enjoy it, or am I supposed to not do the stuff I want to do? I'm struggling a little bit. It's the Bible, all right? All right, one more. Listen, I'm going to give you three of the multiplicity of verses that I found that are hard to decipher. Here we go. You ready? One more. Here we go. All right, Colossians, New Testament, chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. What am I supposed to do? I'm confused right now, okay? For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. And so here's what I want to do with you, all right? I want to just let you in to my study a little bit, because when I go to Exodus, it's very clear. So it's like, it's cut and dry. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's a command of God. So I'm like, yes, sir. Amen. I'm your guy. I'll do it for you. Then when I go to Isaiah, it's like, hey, like enjoy it and speak of the day like a delight, man. Have some fun, but don't pursue your own interests. And I'm like, I don't even know what to think of this. Which one is it? And then when I go to Colossians, it's like, hey, don't let anybody look down on you if you're not looking at the Sabbath day or doing certain ceremonial things. Like, don't let anybody condemn you for that. And I just find myself confused, do you? Which is why I could see the radical tension in people's opinions about what this is. Because some people will stand strongly and say, God commanded us to have a day of rest, and we should do it. And then other people will stand and say, yeah, but Christ came and changed things, and it's like a new creation, so we don't have to do it. So, okay. And then some people say that you shouldn't do anything you like on that day. Nothing. The day should be awful for you. You honor God, which is, I don't think, how God wants us to love him. I'm just saying that out loud, okay? And then in the same context, there are people that are like, you should do whatever you like, man. It's your day. It's a day of rest, right? And so I stood in this myriad of different thoughts and opinions and strong biblical reasons of why people interpret it a certain way. And I was like, I don't know what to say to our church because I'm a little confused by all this. But I'm going to take you on a journey, because I'm going to tell you right now, with much prayer, with much study, listening to voices that I trust, digging into the scripture for myself, getting my own conclusions, because I would rather be informed than influenced. Okay, that could change somebody's life. I'd rather be informed than influenced. So God, what does your word say and how do I interpret it? And so I want to take you on a little journey today, if we may. Are you okay with that? I want to make this practical, and I just want to help us. I want to help us. And so I dug all through scripture. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look first at Jesus and the Sabbath. Because the interesting thing about all of this Sabbath stuff is this. Jesus didn't do Sabbath like everybody expected. Jesus broke a lot of Sabbath rules, which I think says something to us a little bit, actually. In fact, I'm going to just read some things. I'm going to give credit. I have a cousin who is also a lead pastor and a great, great friend of mine, and he has deeply studied into Sabbath, has phenomenal messages and blogs about it. And so what I'm about to give you, I took right straight from him. He was part of the influence of this message. There are 7 examples of Jesus doing things on the Sabbath. One is found in Mark chapter 1, where he brings wholeness to a family. One is found in Mark chapter 3, where he restores what's no longer useful. John chapter 9, he restores vision to someone. In Luke 13, he gives strength for someone's next steps. In Luke 14, he heals an inward working part of someone. In Mark 1, again, he frees us, sets us free. And then in John chapter 5, there's an example where he makes things happen that someone had been waiting years and years and years for. And so on this Sabbath day, Jesus was doing all this stuff, and he was getting heavily criticized for it. He was kind of ruffling some feathers. There's a story of like his disciples were actually eating grain on the Sabbath day, and because they were picking it from a field, they're like, hey, that's harvesting, and that's against the rules, buddy, and we don't do that stuff. And Jesus brings this whole different kind of approach to the Sabbath day. And I want to just say it like this, if I may. Okay, I'm going to break it down this way. That we see Jesus, he heals, he frees, he feeds, he restores, he gives vision. So 7 times in Scripture, Jesus is seen doing things on the Sabbath. They're all these things plus more. He heals countless people. Just countless, because there's one example where the Bible says that all these people were coming to the house and he would heal all their sick, the Bible says. So there's all these things that Jesus was doing on the Sabbath day. And so the idea is that, hey, the rules say you have to rest. But then Jesus showed us times where he wasn't resting, but he was in fact influencing, And he was, in fact, changing people's lives. Let me just say it this way. Now, I did it this way on purpose. That simply put, Jesus does miracles on the Sabbath day. Miracles. And I know what some of you workaholic, busy bodies, I can't slow down for a moment or everything's going to go off the rails thinkers are thinking. That for me to take a consistent, rhythmic 24-hour a day, one day rest, it would take a miracle. But that's what he'd do. That is what Jesus does. And so I want to say it like this, that because I'm you. Like I'm you. I like to do and achieve and to conquer, and it's hard for me to really just like chill or relax. Every time I go have fun, I come back and the grass is high, you know, or something in the house is undone. Or I probably should have organized the garage. Finally, I've been saying it for weeks. Like all these things, and I'll have this sense of guilt. If I come home and I haven't actually moved the needle in something productive, like I didn't do anything, I have this sense of guilt about myself that like, what a waste of my time. What a waste of my energy, right? Come on, I know I'm not the only one in the room. In fact, I think it's the majority of us. That's why this series is here. But I want to say this because I get it. Like, I understand when you wear all the pressure. Maybe it's in your household. Maybe it's at the office. Maybe it's with something, you know, like something going on legally. Maybe it's because something is going on with tension within your extended family. Maybe it's because you're trying to manage something that hit the fan unexpectedly, and now you're trying to sort all that out, and you've got all this weight and all this pressure on you, and you still have to conduct normal life but also take on this extracurricular thing, and you're saying to yourself, I can't afford to slow down. I can't take a day off. I can't rest at all. There's no time for rest. But what I want to say to you is that I believe that God can do more with our 6 days and a day of rest than we can achieve in our seven. Amen. That's the idea here. And so I said this last week, and I will say it again, that I actually see a Sabbath rest like giving or like fasting. These are biblical principles in the Bible that are very clearly asked of Christ followers. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus kind of goes through the thing like, hey, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, and he sort of lays out some ways that we would actually do that. He really didn't leave it as an option for the body of Christ, but some people take it as such. And so let me say, I feel like I'm getting a little heavy. I love y'all. Hang on, all right? But let me say it like this, that I actually think you can live your entire Christian life and never give to God. Never fast, never Sabbath, and still see heaven. I just think you're not living your best Christian life when you do that. Because there's miracles in these moments. When I trust God more than I trust my job for income, and I say, God, I will return what is yours, the first fruits of my increase. I will give the tithe back into the storehouse. I will return to you what is in fact yours. Here's what I'm saying to God. God, you're first. You are the top of the order. I don't trust my job or the economy or my employer. I trust you. And I could give you story and story and story and story over and over again of people that have actually lived that out, even sacrificially, and they're like, it's unbelievable what God has done. The same would be true for people who fast, which is like one of the most counterintuitive concepts, I think, to just anybody. Like, what do you mean you don't want me to eat? Well, yeah, like it's a time of sacrificing in my flesh so that I replace that time with spiritual edification. So I'll spend time in prayer, receiving the word. So I'm intentionally putting my flesh on the altar so that my spirit can be fed. It's a training in my body, if you will, that says, hey, flesh, you're not first. Spirit, you are. I take every thought captive. And I will offer you a sacrifice of my prayer. Like, this is what it is. And I can give you testimony and testimony, story and story and story, again, of people that would say it's unbelievable, the things that God had done. I wouldn't have even received that from God had I not created that intentional space and sacrifice. And I believe the same is true for Sabbath. That if we would actually say, okay, God, I don't know how, but I trust that you do miracles. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'll honor your day, 24 hours. I'm going to rest. I'm going to pursue you. And I'm going to make you my focus. I actually think God will honor and bless that more. Amen. All right, listen, I just want to give you more scripture, okay? All right, here we go. Here we go. Mark chapter 2. Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." Because Jesus was getting called out, like, "Hey, that's against rules. You shouldn't be doing that." And Jesus sort of brings some clarity, like, "Hey, let me tell you something, all right?" I love Jesus's like boldness. I don't even have what Jesus had. I wish I was more like that. I'm not. But Jesus was, and he was like, "Hey, let me bring you some clarity. This is not about my people following a bunch of rules. I'm not trying to make sure that they do and they don't and you oughta and you better." No, Jesus says, listen, the Sabbath was designed for them. It is actually their day and it is for them. Not for them to do a bunch of rules and regulations and stuff for me. Okay, so let's talk now about you and the Sabbath, okay? And here's where I hope to get more practical. You good? Everybody tracking? Okay. All right. This verse was actually quoted during worship. But the Bible says that the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come that you can have life and have it to the full." I think culture, I think sinfulness, I think busyness can steal the joy of our lives. I actually heard a preacher say one time this, and it hit like a hammer of conviction in my heart. And this is what he said. He said, "If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy." And it was just like the hammer just, because I was like, I'm always busy. I feel important when I'm busy. And what I find is in that busy pace and culture, it starts to become more and more about me and not about him. And he's like, "Hey, I'm actually trying to set a day for you to get your focus back in the right place. I want you to have the fullest life, like the best life." Amen. Because I just don't think we have to suffer our way through this life all the time. Yeah, we have battles. Yeah, in this life, you will have tribulation, Jesus said. "But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And I think Jesus wants us to live a life that is full and vibrant. Amen. It's just, this is the Jesus I read about. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's move on. All right. Romans 14, in the same way, some think one day is more holy than other days. I love this. This is what set me free. Some think that one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. And here it is. This is my thoughts about Sabbath to Church on the Rock right here. Here it is. Each person should have a personal conviction about this matter. This is New Testament. This is Paul to the church. People are freaking out. What should I be doing on this day? Is it nothing? Is it church? Should I be eating pork? Should I not be? I mean, all this stuff was going on. I know it sounds crazy to us, but that was like a major polarizing, opinionated thing in the church in their era. Like, is it okay or not? I don't know. And he's just saying like, hey, each person should have a personal conviction about this matter. Those who have a special day for worshiping the Lord are trying to honor him. Those who eat all kinds of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who won't eat everything also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. And so here's what I want to say to you, okay? I don't know your background. I don't know what you were taught. I don't know where you come from. But there are some of you that are like, "Hey, man, the Sabbath day is about going to church. The Sabbath day is about going home and focusing on the Lord." And we don't, I watched one of the teachings that I watched. The guy said, "We never watch football ever on a Sunday. We never see professional sports. I wouldn't let my boys watch it because that's just the way we honored Sabbath." Whatever. I guess that's your conviction, but I'm like, I love football. And the Bible said, enjoy the day. And I'm like, I think the Dolphins are getting better. You know what I'm saying? I actually want to see it now. It's not as painful as it has been my whole entire existence. Anyway, I've digressed back to the point. Is this that like what does your day look like? Okay, then have your conviction and your reasons for your day looking like that. Well, your day might look a little different. Okay, then have your convictions and your reasons for that day. But I think every day should have some things. okay? And this is where the practicality, I pray, really lands and helps us all, okay? Three things. If you're a note taker, you should write it down. If not, grab your cell phone, take a screenshot. Three focuses for Sabbath. These are things that I think we should all have in our Sabbath rest days and times, okay? And let me digress to a thought that, like, remember when he said, don't let people judge you if you're not in honoring Sabbath or whatever. Remember that? Remember that verse? We read it back there just a moment ago. All right. Like, I want you to understand that life has seasons. And so some of you, like, you're farmers. And so you have, when you're harvesting the crop, that is 7 days a week. You got to get it. Like, I get it. And you have jobs that way. Some of you guys, you know, deliver mail. It's super busy around Christmas time and you got to go. Like, 10-4. Rhythm, seasons, okay? But when we find our pause, three focuses for Sabbath. The first one is this. I think that our days should focus on refilling. So, whatever my day is, what fills me? What does fill me? So, for many of you, it's like, hey, I Sunday's my day. Got to be in church, man. That fills me. Well, good for you. That's really good. Others of you are like, look, Sunday doesn't work because I have to work on Sundays and I'm off on a Tuesday or like whatever it is. And so that's really the day that my rest and replenishment refilling comes from. And so I would say like your day should look like a day of things that refill you. So let me just give some practical thoughts to this. Studies have shown that if you work inside, like with your mind, maybe you're at a desk all the time, that some of the most replenishing and refilling activities that you actually can do is to do something outside. So it's like all week I'm trapped in this office, man. So my most refilling things are in the sunlight, or it's out on the water, or it's in my yard, in the garden, or walking a trail, or whatever it might be. Those things fill me back up. Some of you are opposite. I remember when I did construction work, I lived under the pounding, beating sun all the time, and the last thing I wanted to do was go to the beach. My family would be like, you want to go to the beach on Saturday? I'm like, no. Is the sun involved? I'm out. It's not my thing. Put me in the air conditioner. Get me as ice cold as you can. Get me as fire. I want it to be dark, you know, or whatever. I mean, I'm sort of embellishing a little bit, but the idea was I understood what didn't refill me, and so I did things that do, and so my encouragement to you is to ask some questions like, what does refill me? So here's what here's some stuff I know about me, like the woods, and I make jokes about hunting and stuff all the time, but it's really bigger than that. I like the woods. I mean, I could just walk a trail and pray in the woods. It's a refilling for me. I like being in woods, so I make a rhythm to get myself into the woods. Can't do it every day, can't do it every week, but I can do it pretty consistently, so I've created a rhythm for that, okay? My wife is my favorite human on this planet. Just period. It is what it is. Sorry, I like her more than everybody, okay? And I like time with her. It's very refilling to me. So I'm intentional. Like, hey, we need to have some time that's our time, where it's nobody else, and you know, and whatever. And so sometimes we will leave to a different city for a date night. We will drive somewhere else because people don't know me there, you know? Like, we go out here, and everybody's like, what's up? You know, and I love you, too, so I want to talk to you. So I will create space that, like, it's uninterrupted, and it's ours. It refills me. I've learned that I enjoy organizational projects, and it might sound a little crazy, but, like, I got somebody in the second row, like, that's me. So if I can get into the garage or whatever, it doesn't matter, whatever, my truck, whatever, and I can just put it in order. Like, oh, this has been chaos for a while, and I'll do a little project, build a couple shelves, put everything on their dress right, dress blah, blah, and just step back like, yeah, man. Like, that, it just raises the level. It refills me. So to you, I say, like, you know you. Your spouse knows you. Your friends know you. What refills you? It's a good thing to know what those things are and then be intentional. Find rhythms for them. Put them into your life. You might not be able to do it all every week. Maybe you could do one of them once a month or one of them every couple of weeks. Is that making sense, everybody? I'm just saying, like, find some things that refill. Number two, I actually think that a Sabbath rest should focus on reflecting. Like, let's look back a little bit because life and pace never allows us time for that. Oh, what's next? What's the new challenge? What's the new goal? What's the new thing I'm trying to achieve? But we saw when Jesus, and if you've been a part of the series, you'll remember this perhaps, and if not, just bear with me a moment. But when God created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, he rested. Well, if you study that, he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was satisfied. And when he looked out in reflection of all that he created, he said, this is really good. And it wasn't an arrogance. It's just, I mean, like when you're perfect, it's pretty hard for it not to be good. It just is what it is. But he looked and said, I like it. This is good. And one of the greatest thieves of our fullest life is never slowing down to enjoy moments, look back and embrace something, to actually like reflect, like, do I even like what I do? Because some of us, we hate our jobs, some of us. Not me, some of y'all. And sorry. I really try to make myself included in conversation, but like I like my job a lot. All right, so some of you really don't like it. And you keep getting up and going. And the fact of the matter is, some consistent reflection might actually allow you to break into a reality that's like, I don't like this. Yeah, it makes the money that I would like to make to live a certain lifestyle, but the fact of the matter is, I'm not full of life. It's killing me. But if we never rest, if we never refill, if we never reflect, we'll miss it. And all of a sudden, 15 years have gone by, and we're just miserable people. I'm trying to help you. And then finally, the last one is this, that I think we should reset. So sometimes in reflection, we don't like what we see. So change it. Make a change. Now you have a rhythmic space to even strategize change. Might take you a long time to say, I'm going to leave my job. And I'm not suggesting, you understand, okay. Like, you got to apply this to you. But for some of you, I'm telling you, you might actually come to realization, like, I hate this. Well, it might take some time to strategize a reset. All right, what would my exit strategy be? What do I want to do? What course of action should I be taking to actually start something different? Do I need to have an education? Should I start reading books? Should I freshen up my resume? What should I be doing to actually get to a place that's not draining all the life out of me? Well, you have a space for it, and it's called Sabbath. Miracles happen there. Some of you are gonna reflect and be like, man, I loved what happened this week. Man, that family dinner was the best part of my week. I'm gonna plan the next one. When are we gonna do it? You know, let's get a plan in place because that's good for me. Hey, you know what? I found that walk down the beach with my wife was awesome. I sit in that office all week long and just being out in the sunlight in the early morning, talking to her. Are you hearing me? But if I don't know, if I never take time for these things, I'm just in the move of culture, doing what everybody else does, barely getting by. I would just suggest that maybe your Sabbath look like that. I'm going to spend time doing some things that refill me. I'm going to spend time reflecting, and I'm going to reset. My favorite thing to do is to make tomorrow's to-do list today. Now that sounds a little weird, but I'll sit down at the end of my day. I'll be like, all right, tomorrow's a Tuesday. It's packed full of meetings for me. I'll look at the calendar. I got this one, that one, that one. All right, cool. But there's still things I got to get done. All right. And then I'll just to do. All right. Got it. And then the next day, because it's just a rhythm. I don't do it every day, but I try to. Just a simple little thing. Rhythms. Sometimes I just go in my backyard and I just shoot some arrows. I'll shoot 10, 12, 15 of them just because it's something that, it's a refiller. I enjoy it. It's therapeutic. I don't even know how to explain it. I'll do that multiple times a week. Why? I'm just trying to find rhythm. I can't get into the woods every single week, but I've scheduled a trip once every month, and I go. Why? Rhythm. And then what am I trying to do? And this is where I've got to improve is 2 and 3. I got to do a better job of reflecting, and then I got to do a better job of resetting. I'm just being like real human with you. Like I am just like you, okay? So I don't have all this down. I'm learning this with you. But the encouragement for us all is this, that, hey, let's trust God to do miracles. God, you do miracles on that day. Do a miracle in me. I'll refill. I'll reflect. I'll reset. Amen. I could keep preaching. I really, really could. And I'm going to bait you into next week, okay? Because here's, if there was one idea, like a thematic concept of this entire series, it is this, that we will not find true rest outside of the presence of our God. So I can take a nap, and that's a good thing for my body, okay? I can do a fun thing. I can whatever it is, you know, whatever, go fishing or whatever you do, golf or whatever. And that's good for my soul. But my spirit needs to be in the presence of my God. And so next week, we're going to actively do that. We church family, are going to get in the presence of our God. And we're going to just say, do a miracle. Do your thing. Just, God, have your way in me. Show me what I don't know. Help me see what I've never seen. Understand what I've never understood. God, just do whatever it is that you do. I am yours. We're going to get in the presence of God. Does that sound good, everybody? All right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I want to lead us into a very important moment, a moment of salvation. I just believe with all of my heart that no matter what someone preaches about, that the Holy Spirit has this incredible way of drawing people to Jesus. Jesus gives us rest. And so what I want to do is just invite you. Maybe you're in this room and you've never made a decision to give your life to Christ, but you're like, man, I really want to do that. Today's a great day. Perhaps you're online and you might be watching this at a playback. It could be 6 months from the day that we were live, but you're like, this is the moment, man. The Spirit of God is just drawing me in. I want to give my life to Christ Jesus. I just want to invite you to do that right now. It's very simple. I believe that the Holy Spirit of God has already done the part I can't do, and that is change your heart. Like, the doors are open and you're saying, yes, come in and be a part of my life. Take over and be in control. And what I want to help you do is simply this. I just want to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer that just is going to affirm the decision that you've already made in your spirit. And so, church family, you know how we do it. Always ask everybody in the room to repeat this prayer with me, even if you've said it before, because those that might be saying it for the first time, I really want you to be able to say it with complete and total confidence. So here's our prayer. I want you to say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's give God some praise. Let's congratulate those that made that decision. Congratulations. 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 Hey, congratulations.